The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Unfortunately, the parables from Luke chapter 15 can be used in the most atrocious ways. Instead of pointing to the gospel in Jesus' words, the focus is often solely on the idea that there are people other than you that Jesus is interested in. And the net effect of that misdirection is that the church is turned away from its Christ-centered focus and into something it is not to be. There are those who misuse this text who say that the lost sheep are all of those who are outside of the church, those who never believed, those who've fallen away. Because after all, don't we usually refer to unbelievers as the lost? Well, it's only natural then to conclude that the lost sheep and the lost coin that Jesus speaks of is the unbeliever or the Christian who's wandered away from the faith and abandoned the church. But that's a really simplistic reading, and it ignores so much gospel and gift and love of God. Because if you think that the lost sheep speaks about those who are outside of the church, then you regular worshipers will be forced to identify yourselves with the 99 untended sheep. And even worse than that, if the lost sheep truly does refer to those outside the church, then you must be among the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Well, look at your daily life. Think about how easily you screw it up. Do you really want to think of yourself as one of those not needing repentance? Neither do I. Think of the lost sheep, then, as speaking about you and about everyone around you here today. Think of the 99 as the unbelievers, as the wandering Christians, as those who think they need no repentance. So then this parable does not tell you to go out and find those who are outside the church. This parable is not about Jesus caring more about others out there than he cares about you who are right here. And as vitally important as the gospel is to the unchurched, Jesus does not tell these parables so that you would treat missions as the highest priority above all other things. because these parables don't tell you how you must act towards others. These parables tell you how our Lord Jesus acts towards you. Remember those impossible demands that Jesus made last week? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Hard words. But Jesus says those things to force you to say, I can't be your disciple. And by yourselves and in your human nature, you are completely and utterly helpless. As helpless as a single lamb lost in the wilderness. Jesus spoke those hard words last week to prepare you for today's words. The despair of not being able to be a disciple because of your helplessness is pushed away by what Jesus says today. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. They came to Jesus not because last week's words drove them away, but because it drew them in. They come to Jesus because he does for them what they cannot do. And so you gather here for the same reasons. Despite all of that you aren't and all that you can't be, here, Jesus forgives you all of your sins. Here, Jesus welcomes you and accepts you. Here, you are welcome in his house and at his table. So the sheep's lostness is a part of the story, but not the point of the parable. The point is that the sheep is a helpless, defenseless one in a helpless and defenseless position that he can't get himself out of. And so the shepherd must do for the sheep what the sheep can't do for himself. So Jesus' condemnation from last week, he cannot be my disciple, reduces you to a terrified helplessness that you can't free yourselves from. But you aren't left there. Jesus has searched you out. He has found you, and he has laid you on his shoulders. That's the point of the parable. Jesus does for you what you can't do for yourself. He makes you his disciple, and he carries you to safety. Ezekiel proclaims that too when he speaks God's oracle. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, declares the Lord God. And so Jesus says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, Jesus' words, one sinner who repents, could be more literally translated, one sinner who continually repents, or one sinner who lives repentantly, or one sinner who lives in ongoing repentance. And so those words describe the life that Christ Jesus created for you in your baptism, the life which he continues to give you here in worship. Yes, Jesus does get a little rough with you when he says these impossible things like, if you don't hate your mother and wife and sons, you cannot be my disciple. But he's plowing the soil for the seeds that he wants to plant with those words. There's joy in heaven over you who live repentantly because God's life-giving word is doing its work. It's miraculous work. It's life-giving work. The angels rejoice over you because your helplessness lifts you onto the shoulders of your Lord. So if there's such joy among the angels in heaven over just one person who lives repentantly, continually turning away from sin and trusting in Jesus, what kind of pandemonium must there be before the throne of God over the many of us who gather here before this pulpit and this altar? Your Heavenly Father devotes Himself to your eternal life. Jesus, your good shepherd, has hunted you down and gathered you up in His rich forgiveness of sins and in His eternal life. Even the angels in heaven have little better to do than to rejoice in God's presence on your behalf, and more so, to rejoice for the good work that He continues to do for you through His Son. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.